Okay, welcome to Shir and Svarno Parshas Chukas. So for the last 2 days, we spent time on the very unique, original pshat of the Svarno with regard to Parah Aduma, where the, again, to distill it, I can't say over 2 days worth of material at length, but, you know, Bekitzer Nimrods, and, you know, in summary form, the Svarno says that the whole mitzvah of Parah Aduma, at least in part, is meant to be a symbolic message about how to engage in tshuva. Right? Again, as we pointed out yesterday, and we'll come back to this point in a few moments, it's not to say that the person who became Tomei Meis, the person who became Tomei because of his exposure to a dead body, is a sinner and needs to do tshuva. There's nothing wrong with becoming a Tomei Meis. The only problem would be if, as a Tomei Meis, he then comes into contact with the Mikdash, or with Kodshim, or with Truma, or other things, where being Tomei is a problem. But being Tomei per se is certainly not an Aveira. So we're not saying that he's wrong for becoming a Tomei Meis. But the whole process of purification from a Tomei Meis is supposed to symbolize how a person does tshuva. Ordinarily, a person should endeavor to be a non-extremist, to be someone who's balanced in terms of his character traits. The only time that a person is supposed to be an extremist is where he's sinned and gone too much to one side, overemphasized one trait at the expense of others. So he has to compensate by overemphasizing the other side, so hopefully he can come out to the middle. How is that symbolized by Parah Aduma? So just to summarize, the Parah Aduma itself is symbolic of sin, because the red color is symbolic of sin. As we see in Yuchat Oechem Kashonim, Kashela Gyalbinu, the Novin Yeshaya speaks of red as being a sign of sinfulness. We saw in the Kavana Satara, the Svarno explains that like the color red, sin is attractive, it's eye-grabbing, but it's also like fire that can burn the person. So in other words, that's part of the symbolism of red being like sin. So it's like sin. The fact that both the Erez and the Ezov, the seed of Hyssop, are burned together with the Parah Aduma, represent the idea that extremes are no good, because the Hyssop represents extreme humility, the cedar represents extreme haughtiness. Neither of those extremes is a good thing. What's really ideal is to combine opposites and meet in the middle. So the example of that is the Mechatos, the water itself, which is a mixture of water and ashes. Ashes is fire. Putting water and fire together is ultimately the way in which the person who has gone to an extreme is going to be purified. He's being told that come back to the middle where opposites are combined and put together, the happy medium in the middle. And finally, the greatest paradox of the Parah Aduma, the notion that it's metaris atmeim and metameis atahorim, that if you're pure, it makes you impure. If you're impure, it makes you pure. The paradox of the Parah Aduma is meaning to express the following idea. Extremism is metaris atmeim and metameis atahorim, meaning if you're a person who has sinned, the extremism pulls the person back ultimately into the middle. So it's metayeres atmeim. But if you're a regular, healthy, normal person who hasn't sinned, at least not now, so then going to an extreme is going to set you off kilter. It's going to be metameis atahorim. So this kind of extremism is healthy in certain circumstances, but unhealthy in others. And that's the paradox, ultimately, he says, of the Parah Aduma. So in a very, very concise form, those are some of the ideas that he has put forth over the past 2 days. And again, I just note something we saw very interestingly yesterday, that he suggests that even though Chazal tells us that Shlomo HaMelech, the Chacham Mikol Adam, the wisest of men, didn't really understand Parah Aduma, the Svarno says, but perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu, the Hadomin Lo, and those who are similar to him, both of which Rabbi Cooperman in his note says, people who are endowed with Nevuah, might be able to understand the idea behind the Parah Aduma. That's a side point, but an interesting side point nonetheless. So let's come back to an issue that we spoke about. Why is all of this related to the idea of Tomei Meis? In other words, as we said at the outset tonight, becoming impure by contact with a dead body is not a sinful action. So why is the halachic situation of being tamei meis correlated with the idea of how a person who has sinned should do tshuva? They're not really the same thing. So to at least partially answer that question, he says as follows. Shiroi lehisbonin, mashigazar omer shahanogea b'meis metameis mishkan Hashem, v'haboel ha'oel metameis mikdash Hashem. There are two psukim which are not true in the literal sense of this of the term, as we'll see in just a moment, and you know require a little bit of explanation. So when describing the mitzvah of Parah Aduma, it says, Kol Hanogeya, this is the Perek Yutes Pasuk Yud Gimel, Kol Hanogeya b'meis b'nefesh ha'adam asher yomus, anyone who touches a dead body of a person, v'lo yischato, and he doesn't purify himself, es mishkan Hashem time, he has defiled the sanctuary of Hashem, v'nichrusa ha'nefesh ha'himi Yisrael, and that person should be punished with kares. And similarly, a little bit later on in Pasuk Chaf, v'ish asher yitma v'lo yischata, if a person becomes tamei and doesn't purify himself, v'nichrusa ha'nefesh ha'himi mitoch hakol, that person also is cut off from the congregation, ki es mikdash Hashem time, because he has defiled the sanctuary of Hashem. Now, the simple reading of these psukim would seem to suggest the following. If a person becomes tamei meis and doesn't undergo the purification of the para aduma, that itself is a sin, it's punishable by kares, and he is defiled in some way the mishkan or the mikdash. Now, literally, that's not true. As we said before, it's not a sin to become tamei meis. Let's say a person becomes tamei meis, and he says, okay, take us for example, right? Here we are, you know, a person goes to a funeral, lo aleinu, right? Becomes tamei meis by virtue of being in the same room with the person who passed away. And we don't go out and, you know, experience the tahara of the meichatos. We just don't. We don't have that possibility. So no one would suggest in a million years that we've defiled the Mikdash Hashem, the Mishkan Hashem, or that we're subject to... But that's what the Pasuk seems to say. Now, Rashi quickly comes and tells us that Al Pi Halacha, that's not what the Pasuk means. Rashi says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Es Mishkan Hashem Timei, he's defiled the Mishkan of Hashem, Im Nichnas La'azara, Afilu B'tvilo, Belo Hazar Shlishi Ushvi'i. A couple of important words that are missing there in the pasuk, so to speak. Im nichnas lazara, if the person goes into the Beis Hamikdash and he hasn't purified himself, so then he's chayiv kares. You know, he's a tamei shebaba azara. Yeah, okay. So then mishkan Hashem timei, mikdash Hashem timei. But those are three very important words that are not explicit in the pasuk. Im nichnas lazara, if he goes into the azara, if he goes into the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. Why does the Torah open itself up to that kind of misinterpretation? The simple reading of the Pasuk seems to say that inherently, if a person becomes Tamei Meis, and doesn't purify himself, inherently, he's been Metamei, the Mishkan Hashem, the Mikdash Hashem. Why set up the Pasuk in such a way that lends itself to such misinterpretation? So the Sfarno says the following beautiful pshat. He says, Vizeh, what the Pasuk is trying to tell us is as follows. Again, obviously on a halachic level, what Rashi tells us, that you have to insert the three words, im nichnas la'azara, that's obviously true la'halacha. But the pshat in the Pasuk is true in a different kind of way. It's true in a hashkafic sense. In what way? Ki omnom kol hakorev hakorev, el havlei hanifsados, ein sofeg shehu metamei, lev tahar. When a person in life spends time in the company of something which is fleeting and not eternal, and is hevel havolim, is something which is vanity of vanities, which ultimately is not going to last, that without a doubt, that is going to be metame, it's going to make impure his otherwise pure heart. Shehu mishkano shel mikdash Hashem. The pure heart is where the Mikdash Hashem is to be found. In other words, says the Svara, a beautiful pshat, almost you'd think it's a shalashuris pshat if it wasn't coming from the Svarna. Says the Svarna, what does it mean, Mikdash Hashem, Mishkan Hashem, on the level of pshat, on the level of hashkafa? It means the person. The person is the Mishkan Hashem, the person is the Mikdash Hashem. Shehu anikrot Tzelem Elokim. The Tzelem Elokim, the image of God, that every person possesses, means that every person is called a sanctuary of Hashem, a Mishkan Hashem, a Mikdash Hashem. When a person spends too much time in the company of something which is fleeting and which will pass away, which is not eternal, it's metame automatically his Mishkan Hashem. So now let's just unpack this a little bit. Again, let's unpack this a little bit, and we'll try to get it. Try to get the picture that he's painting, although, again, you may have gotten the picture already, but let's just make everything explicit. Again, according to the Svarno, there's a level of symbolism in the mitzvah of Paraduma and Tomei Meis, and Tumas Meis. Coming into contact with a dead body is symbolic of a person who immerses himself in the aspects of this world which are fleeting and non-eternal. Because the dead body, more than anything else, symbolizes something, you know, something about humanity that doesn't last forever. Again, there's nothing sinful about a dead body. Everybody's going to die sooner or later, you know, b'derech hateva. But the dead body represents the fact that, you know, all of those things in this world that don't last forever. Coming into contact with the dead body symbolically is a symbol for sin, for chet, because what is a chote, what is a sinner? A sinner is somebody who, at least in one instance, has stopped looking at those things which are eternal about our existence and our life, and has substituted instead those things which are fleeting, which are going to pass from this world. When you do that, you're metame Hashem, you're metame automatically the sanctuary of Hashem, which is the Tzelem Elokim within every person. So that's on a hashkafic level, that's what it means. Kol hanogea b'meis b'nefesh ha'adam asher yomus. When you come into contact with the things in this world that are fleeting and that pass, you want money, you want glory, you want to fulfill a taiva that you have, all of those are b'meis b'nefesh adam asher yamos in a symbolic sense, v'lo yischata, and he doesn't engage in tshuva, es mishkan Hashem time. So he's metame, the mishkan Hashem, the person himself, he's metame, the tzelem Elokim,